Our scripture comes from 1 John, and it starts with chapter 3, 1 through 3. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it does not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. We will be like him, for we will see him as he is, and all who have this hope in him purify themselves, just as he is pure. And chapter 4, beginning with verse 13. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believe the love of God, the love that God has for us. God is love. And those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so we are in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached the perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. And those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. So the title, Integrity. Integrity is one of the Quaker testimonies, a value held dear by the early Quakers and Quakers today. Of course, the main definition of integrity means telling the truth, being honest in all our dealings. Early Quakers refused to swear an oath to tell the truth because, they argued, one should always tell the truth, not just under oath. So if Quakers agreed to swear an oath to truth, that meant they agreed with the system that said that truth could not be counted on unless you were under oath. Early Quakers earned a reputation for honest dealings in trade. They set a fair price for goods and services. Before that practice became common, merchants would expect customers to haggle, often giving the richest people the best prices and charging the poorer more money. So the Quaker name became associated with honest dealing. And so merchants adopted the Quaker name, even though they hadn't anything to do with Quakers or the Friends. So the most famous example is, of course, Quaker oats. But we also learned Quaker oil, Quaker hosiery, Quaker beer. So merchants wanted that, the advantage of having the name Quaker, even though they didn't espouse Quakerism. We learned some humorous examples of truth-telling among early Quaker. Well, actually, this example is from today. In our Tuesday book study, Living the Quaker Way by Philip Gully. So in this story, the family is driving. Father is the one driving. And they stop for gas. And the attendant fills up the gas, their car with gas. And the father said, see you later. Gets back in the car, goes down the road a couple miles, And he realizes he's not going to see that attendant later. So he turns the car around and he says back to the gas station, he says to the attendant, "I'm sorry, that was not right. I won't see you later. I have to say goodbye." We find this maybe a little amusing and maybe a little extreme, but would that we had a little more adherence to truth these days. Millions believe that the 2020 election was stolen. Many running for high office believe and embrace this lie. And our fragile democracy, we hope, will not unravel because of this lie. Truth is important. Integrity involves truth in words and truth in action. But at its heart, it involves our relationship to God. Philip Gully wrote in that same book I just quoted, he wrote that friends believed that in guarding their own reputations as truth tellers, they were also guarding God's reputation. As believers proclaiming the name of Christ, inappropriate behavior by those claiming to be friends of God not only tarnished the person's name, but also tarnished the reputation of God. This was not something that I thought of before, that my inappropriate behavior might tarnish God's reputation. How many times have we heard it said from people, friends, acquaintances, that they don't go to church because the people who do are hypocrites? Perhaps they heard someone from church gossiping or swearing or double dealing, being dishonest, exaggerating the truth, or even telling an outright lie. I think sometimes that we believe we get a kind of pass on sin. After all, we're all sinners, right? It even says in 1 John that if we claim to be sin, have no sin, then we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So we are sinners. But more than that, we want to be like everybody else. We want to join the crowd. We know we're no better than the worst kind of sinner. But so why not go ahead and with whatever sin tempts us? No, we're not called to give in to sin, but by prayer and repentance to grow into the person Christ calls us to be. So, confession time. I like baseball, and I can get caught up in bad calls, I think they're bad, by the umpire, or a terrible at bat, or a bonehead play, and I've been known to swear. Watching TV or at the ballpark, yelling and screaming, I get caught up in the moment. But this does not reflect well on my calling as a follower of Christ. And so I repent. I pray to repent. I do not want Christ's reputation to suffer for my own inappropriate behavior. In my life transformation group, I confessed hatred towards Alex Jones. Alex Jones, I'm sure most everyone knows, has done evil towards the poor Connecticut families who lost small children in the Sandy Hook shooting. Alex Jones perpetuated the lie. This was all a hoax, that these children weren't really murdered. This caused the families untold trauma and grief, topped by their original grief of losing their children. So I confessed hatred toward this man, and my life transformation group urged me to pray instead for his reconciliation and for restorative justice. There are any number of liars and haters in our country and around the world, and we have to include ourselves in that. Do we expend energy hating? Or do we pray for a renewal of minds and hearts? Do we pray and work for the light of truth, the light of Christ, to shine in the lives of individuals and in our nation, in our world? Which choice strengthens our relationship to God? Which choice leads us in the paths of righteousness? Which choice guards God's reputation as the light of Christ that we seek to follow? Our relationship with God is the source of integrity in all our dealings. In the spring 2022 volume of Quaker Life, Kelly Kellum, who is the General Secretary of Friends United Meeting, wrote an inspiring piece about integrity. He called it, "Remember Who You Are." Kelly Kellum grew up as a child of missionaries. He says, as children of missionaries have often defined themselves as third culture kids. Though they may have a rich and varied life, being introduced to many cultures, foods, customs, friends from every part of the globe, third culture kids sometimes experience identity crisis. They don't know where they belong. They don't really belong to their parents' culture, nor do they fully belong to the culture where they're being raised. Kelly shares that a third culture kid must endure many goodbyes, perpetual goodbyes, as he says it. Third culture kids are always leaving places, family members, friends, and pets that are meaningful to them. So with many tears on those occasions, Kelly's father would say to him, "Always remember who you are. Don't forget, you're a Kellum." As he reflected on this, Kelly took his father's advice to remember that he was a Kellum to mean remembering the values that he was brought up with, being kind, telling the truth, respecting others, saying I'm sorry, loving God, and serving the church. But on further reflection, he turned to 1 John. In John's day, people were being tempted right and left to compromise their faith, just as we are today. John reminds them that we need to remember who we are, that we are children of God. As children of God, this is our primary identity. As it says in John 3, verse 1, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we are called children of God. And that is what we are." That's from the New International Version. I close with a quote from Kelly Kellum. "Such love offers us a sense of belonging, defines us, informs us how we are to live and be in the world. This is not mere sentimentalism, but a way of being in this world, doing what we know to be good and kind, saying what we understand to be truthful, defending the dignity of the most vulnerable, and preserving our relationships with others and with God. This is true integrity, to live and act according to our true identity as children of God."